All right. We find here in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Do you think that Jesus is coming back for his own in our generation? I believe Jesus could come back at any moment. The Bible teaches that. And I think he's coming back in our generation. So stop having birthdays. And but we find that there's the fulfillment of every sign of the times. The prophecy of Scripture is complete. Israel is a nation. All things are ready. You know, I think every generation since Jesus ascended, Matthew chapter 10, or chapter 1, verse number 10, verse number 11, as he's on the Mount of Olives and he ascends into heaven, and his disciples are standing there and they're looking up into heaven, and the angel comes and says, You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you, he is going to come in like manner as you've seen him go. And they're just standing there, just waiting. And Jesus told them, get busy telling other people about me. And so I think they were waiting for him to come back in their lifetime. They were working so he would come back in their lifetime. And I believe they sincerely believed that they were the ones. Over in 1 Thessalonians, look there, chapter number 4. All the books with a T are all together. Titus, Timothy, Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now notice the first person pronoun that Paul uses here. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We which are alive and remain. Didn't Paul sound like he believed that Jesus was coming back in his lifetime? We which are alive and remain. He said, we're not going to prevent them. We're not going to go before them which are asleep, the people who have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The same Paul who believed we would be together forever with the Lord in heaven, believe that we are the ones who would remain until the Lord comes and we'd be with him at the rapture. We use the word rapture. I know it's not a Bible word. It simply means catching away. The word Bible is not even a Bible word. It's not found in the Bible. A lot of other words describe the Bible, but catching away here. And so Paul believed that Jesus was coming in his lifetime. We see it very clearly here. And I was doing a little studying in history. You know, I've got a lot of historical documents, and you can do a lot of research. But Irenaeus was a disciple of Polycarp. Polycarp was a disciple of John. You find Polycarp mentioned in the Bible. And so here's a third generation. You have John. John and Polycarp worked together. And then you have Irenaeus, whom Polycarp taught. And he talked about in his writings in Against Heresies, chapter 5, and verse number 29, whatever they call it, chapter 5, subchapter. The church shall be suddenly caught up, then shall be tribulation. In his writings, he believed that halfway through the tribulation, Antichrist would rule for 3.5 years. And so he taught about the second coming of Christ at the end of the 7-year period. And so he taught that. He believed that. So long time ago, before you and I were born in the hundreds A.D., there were people who got good information from people who knew the Lord personally. And then you have a man named Cyprian in Carthage, and he died in 258 A.D., and he taught his followers, God has not appointed us to wrath, but salvation. He uses the same verbs that they use in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, and joyfully encouraged his church to expect to be taken away before the tribulation begins. Indeed, he exhorted his church to eagerly anticipate the mansions Jesus had gone to heaven to prepare for them individually, as detailed in John chapter 14. A man who was a deacon, Ephraim the Syrian, lived from 306 A.D. to 373 A.D. He taught a genuine urgency to be ready for the Lord's return. And he said that the Lord would come back at any moment, that the rapture was imminent, and that Christ would take his saints. He said, woe to those who desire to see the day of the Lord. For all the saints and the elect of God are gathered prior to the tribulation that is to come and are taken to the Lord, lest they see the confusion that is to overwhelm the world because of our sins. And so, brothers, most dear to me, it is the 11th hour, and the end of the world comes to the harvest, and angels armed and prepared hold sickles in their hands awaiting the empire of the Lord. That was way back in the 300s. So this isn't something, you know, somebody just came up with this idea in the 1800s. Well, the Bible teaches it. Historically, it's been taught. Those early church fathers, those who knew John personally and others, and there are others that we could look at, believed that the Lord was coming back at any time. They believed he was coming back in their lifetime. Now let's look at what the scripture says about the last days. We see the text here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, before the Lord returns for his own in the air to call his own home to heaven, the Bible says here that perilous times shall come. You know, we can see many of the perilous times around the world. You know, we probably are insulated here, and I'm happy about that. But you see the perilous times around the world. You see world news and what's going on in different countries. And the Bible says here, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, fierce, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so let's look at some of these things here. I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have another list, if you would, of things that are going to happen in the last days. The Bible says that men would depart from the faith. Chapter number 4 of 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. The Bible says that many would depart from the faith. You know, if you depart from the faith, that means you have the faith. There are people, we can see it kind of all around us, people who once stood for the Word of God no longer stand for the Word of God. We know people that once believed in personal separation from the world and from sin. Now they're right in the middle of worldliness and sinfulness. Those who had standards and separation no longer have them personally and in their family and in their church and in their ministry. And just kind of anything goes. And it's a sad day in which we live, and things change and people change as fast as you can imagine. But the Bible said here that many would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, there's a lot that people preach and teach as church doctrine, and it comes right from the pit of hell. A lot of people teach things from church doctrine and has nothing to do with the Bible. It is seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, there are people in churches who would teach transcendental meditation. People teach that. That is a hellish doctrine. That is a satanic doctrine. And yet some churches even have classes. You can come and you can do yoga class, you know, and you can probably levitate off the floor, right? And that is doctrines of devils, Eastern mysticism. And people teach that as it's good and as it's wholesome and as you need to get involved in this. And churches teach that. The Bible says it would happen, so we shouldn't be surprised. What we don't want to do is we don't want to participate in it. Now, the Bible says that the conditions of man's heart would be such. Okay, so we see speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They've got no problem teaching those kind of things. Forbidding to marry. Okay, boy, if you're, in the clergy, you can't get married. There's nowhere in the Bible. And commanding to abstain from meats, like Meatless Friday, right? That's been going on a long time. And except when there's a special absolution on St. Patrick's Day during Lent, and the Bishop of Boston says it's okay, then it's okay. But you wonder, what's that all about? You can't eat meat. I don't know. I don't think they know anymore. Now, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, where we read, there is a list here of a whole bunch of different heart conditions. And we're going to look at them. I don't know if you'll write all these down, but some of these words are difficult because we don't use them every day. And maybe we think we might know what they mean, or we're not sure what they mean. But the Bible gives a list of things, of conditions of men's hearts that we ought to know. The general heart condition is given, and let's make sure that it's not our heart condition. This know also, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Did you see that? Where do we see that today? Men should be lovers of their own selves. But we've come up with a new term, haven't we? Selfies, right? And everybody's loving themselves, and everything is about me, and everything is about what I'm doing. And I'm so the world revolves around me. And if you're not here, it doesn't matter, because the world revolves around me. Lovers of their own selves. Have you ever seen it so much in any generation? I don't think so. Lovers of their own selves, they find their God within. You know, you go into the average bookstore, and you're going to find self-help books, right? The average bookstore is filled with self-help books. Everybody wants to, you know, tell you how you can help yourself and how you can be a better person. And then evangelical, right, Christians, they come up with self-help books because they wanted to get in on the market. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so, you know, how to be a better you. And Joel Osteen comes out and he wants to be, you know, help you with your self-help and get his millions and millions of dollars, right? So, lovers of their own selves. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 2 says, we see that. Covetous. Okay, there's one word. The Bible talks about thou shalt not covet. That's one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? It's right at the end. It talks about, and it gives a description about things we're not supposed to covet. Covetousness simply means this: to long for what you don't have. To long for what you don't have. Isn't that a desire that we'd see in people's hearts today? People longing for what they don't have. Everybody wants to have something else. Everybody wants to have somebody else. Everybody wants to be somewhere else, right? Covetousness. And then we find the next word. What is it? Boasters. Okay? Boasters, 2 Timothy 3, verse number 2. It means self-glory. Self-glory. Well, we've got to be careful about that, don't we? We all have to be careful. You know, if we're not careful, we can find these attitudes creeping up in our heart. Boasters. Let me tell you how wonderful I am. Let me tell you about the 10 wonderful, most wonderful people in the world and how I met the other 9, right? Yeah. Let me tell you about the 10 greatest people and how I, you know, mentored the other 9 and made them great like me, right? Boasters, be careful about boasting. That leads to pride, doesn't it? So the Bible says here that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. What's the next word? Proud. Boy, magnifying the flesh. Magnifying the flesh. Boy, that's easy to do, isn't it? I can do that really good all by myself. I've got to be careful about that. The Bible says that we would be, people would be proud. Then the next one, blasphemers. Blasphemers, cursing. Those who would curse. Those who would, theologians who would deny God's word and God's doctrine. That's not a new thing. It's been going on ever since the Bible was written. It's been going on ever since history. We find, you know, probably a lot of secular humanism crept into theology back in the 1800s with the higher criticism and higher thinking, and all the a lot of German higher thinking came in, and a lot of garbage came into the stream of theology and polluted, and a lot of corrupt manuscripts and scriptures and Bible versions. But theologians who deny God's word and God's doctrine, blasphemers, people who say the blood of Christ doesn't save, people who say the gospel is a gospel of works, people who say God only elected some to heaven and didn't elect others to heaven, blasphemers, that is a blasphemy of the word of God. So we find that all around us today. We find that in churches today. We find that in Christian circles today. We find that in people's homes today. Number 6, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. What is that? If people are disobedient to their parents, this breaks up the entire fabric of society. The entire fabric of society is founded on the home. God established the home before God established the church. God established the home and blessed the home. And God has a special place in his heart for the home. And the home is under attack today. Disobedient to parents. I think I tried that a few times when I was a kid. I was supposed to be 6'5", and I'm only 6'1". But disobedient to parents is not good. But we find it all around. And so parents, you make sure the children obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. But we see it all around us today. Unthankful, ungrateful, thankless, without appreciation, an attitude of entitlement. An attitude of entitlement. Listen, parents, teach your children to be thankful. Teach them to say thank you. Teach them to say please. Teach them to say you're welcome. Teach them to have gratitude in their heart for the little things. Teach them, here's a lost art. I'm going to tell you what it is. Writing thank you notes. Oh, I just lost half the people, right? When somebody gives you something, if somebody gives you a monetary something or a gift, right? Write them a thank you note. Teach your children to write thank you notes. I had my son got things for graduation. He's not here, so I can talk about him. And it took a month and a half to get him to finish all those thank you notes. And then finally, the last batch went through the laundry. Okay, so I don't know. We've laundered money before. Did I say that? Now we've laundered thank you notes. So I don't know if you got them all, but they were written. Okay, but try to teach thankfulness. You know, thankfulness is something that you got to have in your heart when you realize, you know what I deserve is nothing, and everything I get is more than I deserve. But the Bible says here that in the latter times people would be unthankful. They would teach. They would tell themselves that they're entitled to everything. Well, you're not entitled to everything. You know what we deserve? We deserve a break today, right at McDonald's. You deserve to go to hell and spend eternity in hell. Anything other than that is a bonus, and you ought to be thankful. So we find that people are unthankful. Let's not be unthankful ourselves. The eighth one, unholy. Unholy. We see that all around us today. Unholiness is on steroids, profane, obscene, irreverent, nothing is sacred, disrespectful, and vulgar. It's all around today. We find that in the last days, I'm sure these things were a problem for all of humanity, but we've refined it. We've taken it to another level. We've perfected it nearly, if you want to put it that way, in a bad way. So the Bible says here that people would be unholy. Then the Bible says, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Loving the unnatural. Let me just give you several thoughts. You can come up with your own commentary. You know, you hear the news, you talk to people, you have conversations, you see things on the computer and on your phone. Okay? There's without natural affection. Mothers who can murder their babies are without natural affection. That ought to be the most natural, effective thing there is. When you were born, you were close to your mother. You were inside your mother. We all were. And your mother naturally had a love for you, naturally cared for you, and naturally wanted the best for you. And for a mother to murder her child and call it whatever you want, but it's murder and it's unnatural. And the Bible says in the last days, people would be without natural affection. 55 million babies murdered in America is without natural affection. How do you know that we're in the last days? Well, I think that number has gotten so much to the place where God's going to have to come down and do something about it. How about this? Children who kill their own parents. There's probably not a week that goes by that you don't hear a gruesome story about children that kill their own parents. There's a word for it. I can't remember what it's called, like parenticide or something like that. They've given it a word today because it happens so often. That's not natural affection. Children ought to have a love for their parents. Children ought to have a respect for their parents. Children ought to have a reverence for their parents. And yet children disobey their parents, and children hate their parents, and children kill their parents. Lesbianism is without natural affection. It's not natural for a woman to love a woman in a sexual way. It's not natural for a man to love a man in a sexual way. It is unnatural. It is wicked. It is reprobate. Homosexuality is unnatural. Pedophilia is unnatural. For people to have an attraction to children is unnatural. People who do not accept how God made them is unnatural. We have today a whole culture of gender mutilation. Boys who want to be girls, girls who want to be boys, psychiatrists, psychologists, school teachers go along with it, parents go along with it, and they have surgeries to alter these people. And you know what the problem is for them now? People are coming out and saying, why did you do that to me when I was a child? Now I'm in my 20s. Now I'm in my 20s, in my late teens, and you ruined my life. You ruined my ability to have children. You ruined my ability to have a normal, natural life. And they're coming out now, and they're telling their stories. And there's a problem for the people who have the unnatural affection because people are revolting against it. But boy, it's front and center today. It's front and center. It's everywhere. And until you sit down and talk with some of these people, you can't understand the confusion in their mind. Probably the mental state of their mind isn't right. And somebody exploits that. A person who exploits someone and wants to change their gender should be put in prison for child abuse. I don't care if it's their parent, if it's their doctor, if it's their psychiatrist. It's wicked and it's wrong. It always will be wrong. That's not a very popular message in 2022, but that's kind of strange in itself. The Bible says that there would be a people without natural affection. You know, if it's such a prevalent thing, where was it 100 years ago? If it's such a prevalent thing, where was it 20 years ago? And all of a sudden, every girl wants to be a boy. And every boy wants to be a girl and compete in girls' sports without natural affection. And you know, the worst thing is the women's rights movement sticks up for it and it's putting them back 100 years. And all of a sudden, you got these, you know, these big, huge guys competing with the women. Women say, we can't wrestle with this guy. He's stronger than we are. Well, there's a difference between guys and girls. Duh. Hello. Without natural affection. Next thought. Truce breakers. Where are we? Verse number 3. Truce breakers. Untrue to one's promise. Well, you don't have to go far to see that today, do you? Well, I know I said that, but I really didn't mean that. Or, you know, something came up and I can't do that anymore. Well, politicians are famous for that, aren't they? Untrue to their promise. Truce breakers. It's all around. People's word doesn't mean anything. It's encouraging when you meet somebody. You know, they used to do business with a handshake. Used to do business with just a word. I was working with a guy the other week, just a couple weeks ago. And we did a business transaction between $10,000 and $20,000 just with a text message. I go, yeah, go ahead, take care of that. And it was expensive. I didn't sign a contract. I didn't get a nothing, not a quote. I didn't get a paper from him. He didn't get any money from me. And when he got done, I just paid him his money. It was fantastic. But, you know, it used to happen all the time. But you can't do that anymore. You have to have a contract. You have to have a sworn affidavit. You have to take a pint of the guy's blood, right? And you have to know where he lives. And it's just unbelievable. But the Bible says that there would be truce breakers. False accusers. To lie. To allege wrongdoing. Unsupported by facts. Character assassination. Well, people just want to destroy people's lives anymore. And we find here that there are people who are false accusers. False accusers. Next one. Incontinent. It means uncontrolled indulgence of passion or appetites. It deals with carnal sexual lust. The sexual websites that people go to, they tell me, get more traffic than the entertainment websites. I don't even want to name their names because I don't want to give them any credit. But all these entertainment sites, the top three or four, are superseded by pornography. And people going on these things and wrecking their mind. The Bible says people would be incontinent. It's all around us. It's everywhere. It used to be a shame, and now there's not even any shame. Fierce. People who have vile hatred. You know, you read about, you look at, matter of fact, I was just hearing about, you know, young people are being marketed to, let's see, what verse am I on here? Verse number 3, fierce. Young people are being marketed to videotape themselves on TikTok, knocking somebody to the ground so they hit their head. There's a name for it, like a head banging or something like that. And they want to see how many different people they can get to do this. You know, in these big cities, Philadelphia and other places, New York City, they go up behind people and they knock people out and they knock them to the ground and they videotape it. And it's so wicked is what it is. It's fierce. And you have these roving bands of young people going around punching people in the face, knocking people out, knocking people to the ground, hurting people, maiming people, going into stores, stealing everything in sight. The stores in San Francisco, they closed the Walgreens in San Francisco because people are going in there and they're shoplifting and they're stealing everything. They're going down to Chicago, they're smashing the windows and they're going in and they're stealing everything. And they're just taking what they want. They have. I heard a clerk who gave an interview, and she said, "We have regular people who come in every day, and so for underneath what is under $1,000, they can't even prosecute them. And so they actually give them a bag at the front door and go, 'All right, go ahead, help yourself.' They just kind of like resign themselves to the fact that these people are going to go and grab $999 worth of stuff and walk out the door, and there's nothing they can do. So they give them bags, and they know them by the front. 'Hey, Charlie, how you doing? Hey, Mary, here's your bag. Go get your stuff.' And they just walk in and then they steal stuff. And that's the day in which we're living. And then, do you ever wonder why? I mean, look. You people that have stores, you have the price of shoplifting built into the price of your goods. So you go in. Do you ever see how much batteries cost these days? You go in and you buy flashlight batteries. You got to get a mortgage on your house. You know, $3, $4, $5 for one little AAA battery, I think it was. I'm in the store. It's like $3.50 for one little battery. You know, $7 for two batteries. I'm like, what's going on? It's because they have lithium batteries in their cars now, right? There's only so much that go around. So when you get a $14,000 battery for your electric vehicle, and in California last week they told them, don't charge up your cars because we don't have enough electricity. We got to have the air conditioning. And then they brown it out. And then they put these smart monitors in their heaters and their air conditioners. And I heard one guy saying, I couldn't get my AC to go below 78 degrees because it was a heat emergency. And they came and they controlled the guy's thermostat with these smart thermostats, right? You can control them and so can the people who made them. And so there's an app and they just regulate your air conditioning and they regulate your heat. That's great, isn't it? I love that. Just give me a fireplace. I'm good. Fierce. How'd we get on that on fierce? I guess that's it. Now, next number. Despisers of those that are good. I got a Facebook notification from a pastor friend of mine. I think he's in Florida. Their Sunday school buses were going out this morning to pick up their bus riders. They have a fleet of Sunday school buses. Overnight, their buses were vandalized. And two of them are inoperable. They couldn't even run them on Sunday morning. Whatever the vandals did, they crippled their buses. I mean, every week you're out there fixing something on that bus because somebody's vandalizing it. It's little things here, little things there, stupid things here. And, you know, but it's expensive. But it used to be, you know, even thieves had a code of ethics before. Used to leave the church alone, right? People used to leave the church unlocked because nobody's going to bother the church. If somebody wants to come in and pray, let them pray. Now if you do that, like, where'd the piano go? Oh, we left the church unlocked. You know, people just despisers of those that are good. Traitors. One who can't be trusted. One who betrays a friend. One who betrays a country. We've got that in politics right now. It's called the Democrat Party. You can quote me on that. And one who betrays a principle. Traitors. They used to, well, never mind what they used to do to traitors. You can read about it. traitors, petty. You know, let me just say this. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, a guy I met, maybe casually, and he asked me, what do you think of the Democrat Party? I said, I could never vote for a Democrat because every Democrat votes for abortion. Everyone. I said, I would not vote for a Democrat for dog catcher because I'd be afraid he'd kill my dog. He said, thank you. I know where you stand. Heady. Heady is the emphasis on educating the mind without morals. We've educated the mind, but we won't educate morals. You know, Brother Jeff, you gave me that book. I still have to read it, but I flipped through it. It's the primer that they used in 1777 to teach children in New England, Massachusetts, all over New England, to read. And it has scripture in it, and it has Christ in it, and it has salvation in it, because they were teaching them in the public school to read so they could read the Bible and they could get saved. That's what they used to teach the children. Now they teach them, you don't even want to know what they teach them. Now they teach them how to be a heathen to the extreme. Heady. An emphasis on educating the mind without morals. You know, it's our children are, what was it, the study came out just this week. They slipped in their grades by, I don't know, 2 years or something like that during all this COVID stuff. And the kids are for the first time, they went behind on, I don't know, it was math and language and everything. And but, you know, they know that, you know, the people who founded this country were ungodly, wicked. Well, they don't even want it, ungodly, right? They were just wicked people, and they wanted to put everybody in slavery, and they were just bad people, and you should you know, throw their monuments out and tear down their statues and throw out all their books and burn all their books, because you can't learn anything from them. You can't learn anything from George Washington. Of course, we know that. But you can learn something from Malcolm X. Well, how's that going? And you can learn something from, you know, all these rabble-rousers and all these people who hate the police and want all this crazy stuff as normal. Emphasis on educating the mind without morals. High-minded. Emphasis on educating the minds without God. Intellect above integrity. Then it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You can jot this down. It's in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the church of Laodicea. And he says, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I would spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus came to the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church. And he said, you think you're rich, but you're poor. You're bankrupt. Here's a picture of our age today. A church that thinks it's rich. And Jesus finally comes in verse number 20, outside of his own church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's been left out of his church. You'll find that's true in America today. In most churches, Jesus Christ is an afterthought. Social justice, Black Lives Matter, all the rainbow fruitcake stuff, we're all for that. All these social causes, Jesus Christ and salvation and His book, you can take a hike. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And finally, Jesus said, I'm standing outside my own church. I'm knocking on the door and I want to be let in. That's where we're at today. High-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, everybody works so they can goof off on the weekend, right? Can you show me that in the Bible? Matter of fact, it's Labor Day tomorrow. The Bible says, 6 days shalt thou work, right? It's right in the Bible. 6 days shalt thou work. Well, I don't know. My job doesn't work. Well, then come on Saturday and go bus visiting. Amen. Go for Sunday school visiting. Go witness for Christ. Volunteer somewhere. 6 days shalt thou work. Man, you start slacking off and not working, you're going to get in trouble. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. Now, we find here, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, there was a traffic jam the other day. I was coming back from Concord area. There was about an 8-mile traffic jam. Everybody was going north for the weekend so they can love pleasure. I hope they went to church. I don't know. And there were 30,000 people down here on yesterday at a car show. Lovers of pleasure. I'm sure they all went to church where they live. I hope so. That's just one indicator. Hopefully we all read our Bible today. More than lovers of God. Hopefully we spent time in prayer today. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And people are going to watch football. And they're going to get involved and watch a bunch of spoiled millionaires kick a dead pig that they blew up with air through a pair of plumbing on a pasture somewhere. And got millions of dollars. And they curse God. And they can't even stand for the flag and put their hand over their heart for the for the national anthem. I don't have any time for that garbage. I got rid of all of my football stuff. I used to bleed little footballs, little corpuscles. I mean, footballs would come out. And I got rid of it. I said, you know what? I don't have time for those crybabies and those babies and those American haters. You can keep them all. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, it says. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, an outward show, but no life. A form of godliness. Organized, but no spirit. Not spirit-filled. Going through the mechanics, but just denying the power thereof. People say they have God in their life, and they don't live like they have God in their life. They say they love God, and their works are different. Verse 6 deals with feminism. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Silly women, a lack of stability. Satan has woman as his target to destroy society. Think about it. What was Satan's first target in the world? It wasn't Adam, but she got Adam. How did she get Adam? She got Eve. You know what Satan's target is today? It's women. Because women are powerful and have an influence over men. Ladies, you have an important, sacred role in the world. Satan went after Eve to corrupt the world that God created. God has forbidden women authority over man, publicity, and masculinity. Yet, here we are today, and we find this in our culture, and the Bible says it would happen. Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, truth seekers, educated ignoramuses. You know, people come to church, and they hear the Word of God. I know this is a little tough tonight, right? But they hear the Word of God. They hear somebody preaching the gospel. Preaching the King James Bible, word for word. Reading the Bible. We read 2 chapters today at least, maybe 3. Preaching the Word of God. We have songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And they come, they stick their toe in the water, and they leave, and they never come back. What do they want? They want somebody to be blasted out of a cannon. They want confetti coming down from the ceiling. They want a tightrope act. They want clowns and a clown car and a circus. The Bible says, ever learning. Learning beyond their obedience. Everything is truth but Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Everything is truth to them except sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Does this describe today? Yes, it does. But what else does the Bible say to expect in the last days? Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Oh, we're having cake and ice cream, aren't we? Yeah. Matthew chapter 24. Verse number one. I was just thinking about, you know, the last days. And what does the Bible say about it? I just jotted down some notes maybe a month ago, 2 months ago. And this is it. Verse number one, Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Two different questions there. Sign of thy coming and the end of the world. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise up and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. False Christ, false prophets. There are people around the world that call themselves Jesus tonight, and they're worshipped as God. False prophets profiting on false religion. Wars, rumors of wars, it's all around us. Famine, pestilence, earthquake. Verse 9 and 10 deals with people who would die for their belief in Christ, martyrs. Verse 12, iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We see that. You can study that. Look at Daniel chapter 12. Something else the Bible tells us would happen before Christ returns, and that would signal his return. Daniel chapter 12. Now think about how long ago Daniel was written. And God tells Daniel, I want to give you a prophecy of what's going to happen at the end of the world. Daniel's 70th week is yet to come, so much of his prophecy has taken place, but a little bit is still happening in the future. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The Bible says that knowledge would be increased before the Lord returns. Don't we live in a very incredibly fast-moving society? Knowledge is increased tremendously. When I was a kid, we didn't have computers. When some of you were kids, the calculator that they had filled up a whole room. And now, video games. We used to have Pong and Tank, right? Right? And now they have video games that are more complicated than I don't even know what. And just the way you can talk to people clear around the world. Everybody's got a phone these days. Knowledge will increase. Computers, you can email somebody, zip, it's there on the other side of the planet. And they can email you. We send telescopes up into space. They're trying to send something else up to the moon. I guess it's not working out this week, but they're working on that again. I mean, knowledge shall increase. It's incredible how quickly. Look, they have these smart cars, right? Cars are smarter than people now. I think the mechanic told me my car had 14 computers in it. I get maybe it's more than that. I think each one was like $2,000, something like that, to replace it. And, I rented a car the other month, whatever it was, and you don't even have to put the key in the ignition, Dan. I mean, you just have the key and you're close enough to the car and it unlocks the door. And you push a button and it starts up. And they have cars that drive themselves. They have cars that parallel park. Good, because people aren't smart enough to parallel park anymore. And they parallel park themselves. They have an automatic car. You just get in it, and it just takes you where you want to go. I could talk to my phone. It'll tell me how many, hey, Siri, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, right? I never tried that one yet. And they'll tell you. And they'll come up with an answer, right? What's the, hypotenuse of pi r squared. I don't know. What's the, quantum theory of whatever it is? What's the, calculation of this? And how tall is Mount Everest, right? I can ask my phone questions. It'll talk back to me. Some people probably get one because they're lonely. I want to have conversations, right? It's pretty crazy. Some people change their voice because they don't want another woman telling them what to do, right? Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now, what's our responsibility? Our responsibility, okay, we look at it and we say, boy, you know, there's a slippery slope and there's a slide and there's all this stuff is happening. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. This list of 20-something things. But the Bible says in verse 14, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. If the Lord taught it, it's in the scripture, continue doing the right thing. I can't worry about what everybody else is doing. I just have to worry about myself and do right. Our responsibility is to continue. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter number 2, that there would come a falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 1, that we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together of him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of the Lord Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I know people say that there's a catching away. There will be a catching away of the church. There's also a falling away of truth. The stage is being set for the return of Jesus Christ. When could he come? He could come today. He could come tomorrow. He could come at any time. You know, as you read, look at Revelation chapter 13. Now, if you're in Revelation chapter 13... the Christians aren't here on the earth. All the Christians are gone. Come up hither. We're gone. We're in heaven. Book of Revelation will begin to unfold. You won't be here. You're not going to go through any of this if you're saved. If you're lost, you'll go through all of it. If you don't die first. But if you're saved, you won't go through any of this. Now, the Bible says this is going to happen during the tribulation to lost people. Not to saved people, to lost people. Verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. During the tribulation, people are going to have a mark in their forehead, a mark in their right hand. That's the only way they're going to be able to buy things and sell things. You know, if the Lord came back today, this could get implemented very quickly. And you know, we're right there. A cashless society is right around the corner. Well, that ought to excite you, because that means the Lord could come back at any moment, right? I mean, how many times have I gone into the big store that Sam Walton founded, right? I walk in there, and they have all these lanes that you can't go to if you have cash. So I have to go wait in line with the 17 other people with my cash, if I bring cash that day. And I got to wait in the middle and sit there for another half an hour, because I'm one of those people that maybe use cash that day, right? I have a debit card, I have a credit card, I have all that good stuff, right? They have, they're testing them out in California, the palm readers in the Whole Foods. And they scan your palm and they get your palm imprint, because it's unique, like your fingerprint. And now you can walk up to the scanner, you just put your hand there and they know it's you. And it debits right out of your bank account. Well, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? And even so, come Lord Jesus. A cashless society, they have biometric ID. They have retinal scanners. You work in a hospital, maybe you already deal with that. The military people already deal with that. People who work in high security clearances already deal with that. It's hard to fool those things. Digital currency. You can study this out later on. They're working on a project down here in Massachusetts at MIT called Project Hamilton. Project Hamilton is a digital currency where the people who control it, okay, I'm not going to get into conspiracy, I'm just saying, the last days, I think they're here. They can control and turn it off and turn it on. If I go to the doctor, I got a doctor's appointment. The doctor says, hey, you're 5 pounds overweight, right? That'd be great, wouldn't it? And he says, you're 5 pounds overweight. So I take my biometric digital currency and I go into Target and I buy Lay's potato chips. Declined. And so then I have to go and buy a salad, right? I buy a salad with, you know, just lettuce and water on it. And I can buy that because the digital currency will let me buy it, because that's healthy, right? You can see this happening, can't you? And so I go over to Riley's is closed. And I say, I want to buy, a shotgun. I want to go hunting. And they say, declined. Right? That could happen. Project Hamilton. Read about it when you get home. They have something called an ESG score. It stands for environmental, social, and governmental. If you have a company and you're rated on an ESG score that maybe, I don't know, you pollute the air too much, or you don't buy enough carbon credits, or you don't make somebody happy, they can dock you and give you a lower score. And you're not going to get the contracts, and you're not going to get the bids, and you're not going to get the loans. I know it's not in the Bible, but you can see where this stuff comes. Like, okay, how's somebody going to control what you buy and what you sell? It's already here. It's already here. It's already being worked through. Does that scare you? It doesn't scare me at all. If it happens before the Lord comes back, we just have to deal with it. If it happens after we're gone, then they're going to have to deal with it. Now, what is the best news? Here's the best news. Let me leave you with this thought, because you have to leave everybody with a good thought, right? Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. The best news is something that we should do. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus just finished telling his disciples, we read it, earthquakes, famines, wars, iniquity shall abound, the love of many, verse 12, shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Hey, I can be part of that. Preaching the gospel in all the world, in every nation. I've got a friend. He's in a country that I'm not even going to mention. And it is not a friendly country to the Bible and Christians. But he's over there. You know what he's doing? He has a radio and a giant antenna and I don't know how many bazillion watt, repeater. And he is broadcasting to the Muslim world the gospel. And every week, people are responding to the gospel and they're getting saved. He can't go to a lot of those countries, but he got as close up as he could. And he's beaming the gospel and people are getting saved by the bushel baskets. Boy, that's exciting. We've got one of our missionaries. We just read the letter on Wednesday night. He's retooling his ministry and he is going to a hostile situation in another country where people, you preach the gospel to them, you tell them about Jesus, and they don't come back. They disappear. And he's going there and he's going to be preaching the gospel and he's excited about it. And boy, we need to support that kind of thing. But the gospel shall be preached to the world. We have capabilities now. We have, computer technology. We have live streaming. We have news. We have all kinds of different technology. We might as well use it for something good before the Lord comes back.